It got to the point where within about 90 minutes, I could get half that route done easily, no problem. Because you knew where things were. You got that experience that you needed. And the same is true here. When it comes from the doctrine of Christ and the Word of God and spending time in these things, the believer learns. Dear believer, it is vital for you in your walk with God to know more about Him. It's a benefit to your soul. Spend time in His Word. Spend time reading. Spend time in prayer. Spend time under the preaching of the Word of God.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and I'm delighted to welcome you to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need. You've been listening to Above the Throne of God Above. This is Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton. Welcome to our program today. And we trust that our ministry here will be a blessing to your soul. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, speaks of the day of Pentecost. There were those that heard the word of God being preached, and they repented from their sin. Being new Christians, they desire to live for the Savior. And at the end of that chapter, we are reminded of how they lived their new lives. The Word of God tells us, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Believer, are you living for Christ? Are you desiring to live by faith in the fullness of the Spirit of God. We're going to go to our pulpit in Cloverdale for the next part of that message, Living by Faith in the Fullness of the Spirit.
There are issues that will arise in your life. There are issues that will arise in the church. The early church had its trials. There are problems that will come in families. How do you deal with those things? Or was it not much easier if you know what God's Word teaches? If you know where to go in the Word of God for that advice and help? If God has, as it were, prepared you through His Word, so you know what to do. It helps you to be a witness for Him because you know the truth of the gospel. It helps you to encourage other believers. There is that great benefit. This understanding of Scripture and of the truth of God was founded upon Christ, because Christ is their Savior. Christ is the source and the subject of all this doctrine. And therefore, they were learning about their Savior. How marvelous that is. Dear believer, do you have a desire to learn about Christ? This is what this thought is about. Continuing in His doctrine, believing it because you love Him and you desire to walk in His ways. Proverbs reminds us to buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy it. And it is so valuable and so beneficial, it's not to be sold or given away. This understanding of doctrine also helped them as they lived their Christian life. It revealed who they were. They were witnesses for Christ. It revealed what they believed and what they stood for. It revealed their praise as they praised God. They could praise God for His so great salvation. What a blessing. What a blessing. And that brings us afresh to the importance of reading the Word of God. How do we read the Word of God? We read it prayerfully. We pray for the reading of the Word. We pray to God with our needs and our concerns. Bible reading and prayer should be that daily part of every Christian's life. And let me say this evening that if you're not reading the Word of God as a Christian, and if you're not praying as a Christian, I will be blunt. There is a problem. There is a problem. Should you not love to be with Christ? Should you not love to read His Word? Should you not love to spend time with Him in prayer? And if those things are neglected, yes, there is a problem. If the only time you read the Word of God is when it's opened in church, as a Christian, there is a problem. If the only time you bow your head in prayer is in church, at a service, as a Christian, there is a problem in your personal life with Christ. You're not growing in grace. You're not growing in the love of God. You're not growing in that relationship with Christ and that desire to pray as you ought. Peter said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. And the Word of God is the food of the believer. And how do we approach the reading of Scripture? There's much we could say here. But it is good to read the Word of God thoughtfully and prayerfully. We don't read it day by day, scanning through it as quick as we can. We take time. Maybe you read a chapter a day. Don't be afraid to pause at the very first verse of that chapter and think upon it. And come back again. Perhaps thinking upon one verse will be such a blessing to your soul. Ask yourself, what does this chapter teach me about God? What does it teach me about the Savior? What does it teach me about sin? What does it teach me that I need to do? What does it teach me that I'm not doing? The Word of God is our only rule of faith and practice. Therefore, we should listen to it. We should obey it. We should read thoughtfully. What does this chapter mean to me? If I got up next Sunday morning And I said, well, we're going to come to David and Goliath. And I'm going to read the account of David and Goliath. And then during the sermon, I started off and I said, we're going to preach about David and Goliath. And our first point is that, well, David was a young shepherd boy. And we spoke about his background. And then the next point, well, David went on an errand to the battlefield. And he obeyed his father and he went. And there on the battlefield, well, the third point, we have the challenge of the giant. And then we come again and we find that the next point, well, David takes on the giant and wins. And the whole sermon is really, this is what happened. There's no application. There's nothing apart from taking the account in Scripture and narrating it. You can ask yourself that question, what does this chapter mean? What does this chapter mean to me? What is God's word teaching me in that chapter? The pastor didn't tell me. He didn't tell me what I'm to do. He didn't tell me how it applies to me. But the same thing happens in so many Bible readings when we read the word of God, does it not? What does this mean to me? Well, I have other things to do. Pastor will preach on it sometime. I don't need to worry about it. There are so many tools available today to help us in Bible study. So many tools. Most have a mobile phone, a cell phone, internet access. You just need to type something simple into Google and there's an explanation. Now we need to be careful, of course. But Matthew Henry's commentary is free and accessible. There are so many daily reading plans taking us through the Word of God. So many things that explain God's truth to us. So many good, sound ways to understand what Scripture is teaching. Matthew Henry's commentary, Matthew Poole's commentary. Simple explanations of what the Word of God means. Matthew Henry's commentary is very devotional and could be read alongside the daily reading. An application and thoughts that do your souls good. When we think of that, there's no reason not to understand what Scripture teaches. To ask friends and family and other believers, what does this mean? I'm struggling to understand. What does this chapter teach me? Dear believer, we should come away from our daily Bible reading knowing something more, understanding something more, having our hearts challenged and blessed and encouraged. The Word of God is a Word that is alive. It's not like reading a novel and we come to a chapter and, well, that chapter wasn't so exciting compared to the previous chapter. And the sequel to that novel, well, the first one was a hit, number one bestseller. This second one, you know, the author didn't do so well this time. We don't approach God's Word with that. It's a living Word. It applies to our souls. It has a message for us. As we come and we do our daily Bible reading, we need to bear that in mind. God is speaking through His Word. What is He saying to me? And to do that, we need to pray. I need to pray for God's blessing. I need to pray for the Lord to come and to apply His Word to our hearts. Dr. Kern said to take time to get into the Word of God. Let that lead you in your praying. The answer to the questions that you have will help you to pray and to ask God to explain these things. How vital, how important it is to know the truth, to live the truth, to read and to pray. But secondly, and with this thought, we'll come to a close this evening, and we'll come back to this next week. But we have fellowship here. Fellowship is an important part of the Christian life. And we see in Acts chapter 2 the priority of fellowship. The priority of fellowship. We were talking, I think, to some of the children on Wednesday evening. And if I remember rightly, there are all sorts of different ships. Well, what's the best ship? Well, it's fellowship. Because the people of God come together. Okay, there's worship as well. But in light of fellowship, fellowship is something that a Christian should desire and place a great priority upon. And we have fellowship right here. The early church came together. Verse 44, they weren't separate, they weren't isolated, and all that believed were together and had all things common. What is the purpose of a church? To preach the word, to worship God together, to have a spiritual family together, to help one another together. And there's this, then, the explanation of what fellowship is. It is a word that has been distorted. Sometimes we refer to fellowship as that chat over coffee or lunch, but the New Testament thought of fellowship here, and the Greek word that is translated fellowship implies a lot more. Partnership, participation, social interaction, communication, communion, far more and far more significant than simply having a chat over a cup of coffee. Partnership, participation. And so the Church of Christ, as we see here, they were together. They had all things common. They were part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the body of Christ, it's marked by unity. They continued daily, verse 46, with one accord. What does that mean, one accord? It doesn't mean they had 100 accord and they had to share it and give each other lifts. It means unity. There was a unity. There was a bond between them. There's no divisions that affected their union. Yes, there may have been debates and discussions, but as the people of God, there was this blessed bond between them. And as the Church of Christ, that is what there must be. When we think of fellowship, we come together as other believers. We depend upon one another. I remember at school back in the early 2000s, we received the results of a test in information, computer technology, or whatever it was called, ICT. And we moved on from the only questions that I'd got wrong. I got the rest of the paper right, and I was kind of bored. And it was my favorite subject, and I found it very easy. I find other subjects more difficult, but this subject, it came easy. And we had rows of desks and computers. The teacher was at the top. The door to the classroom was at the back. And I went on to the computer and I started playing with a little program, a circuit board program, where you could create electrical circuits and do different things and switch them on and off. And there were light bulbs and all sorts of things. And I was fiddling about with that program because I was bored. The head of the subject came in and he stood at the back of the classroom. I didn't know he was there. He announced to the teacher that I was on this particular program and not listening to a single thing that he said. And the teacher turned around and said, "Well, that's okay, Andrew got all these questions right." I wasn't expecting that response. And I'm not sure why he did it, but he was certainly my favorite teacher after that. I thought, I'm in big trouble here. But that program allowed you to create circuits. You could create one that allowed the bulbs to shine after breaking part of the circuit. You could create a circuit that stopped all the bulbs if one was broken, one was stopped. And in that circuit, maybe we did this at school ourselves, they all depended upon each other to fulfill their purpose. You break the link, you take one bulb out, the whole circuit fails. And as believers, when we come together as the church and we come together for fellowship, we all depend upon one another. We all pray for one another. We can think of the Presbyterian church. We are a Presbyterian church. We're not an independent church. We're interdependent upon one another. We're interdependent upon our other congregations. We are interconnected as well, which means that we're not here ourselves alone, but there are other congregations. We pray together. We help each other out. We serve God together. At the presbytery level, we come together and we do the business of the church, and we consider the various needs of the church and the missions of the church and the governing of the church, all connected with each other. And that can come down to the individual level, dear believer, that you and I and others are connected. We're part of a family. And therefore, there is that great priority placed upon fellowship. Fellowship signals our common participation in Christ and the unity that entails. And as we consider Acts 2, they were together. They sold their possessions to help others. They continued daily with one accord. They broke bread from house to house. They ate their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They praised God. They had favor with all the people. There was this great connection that they had together. And we're not, as the writer to the Hebrews said, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We're to come together as the church of Christ. And dear believer, no matter how old you may be in the faith or how young you are in the faith, coming together as the church of Christ ought to be a priority. There's an expression of fellowship here. They worshiped. They broke bread. They remembered the death of Christ. They broke bread from house to house. Without going into detail, I believe the thought there is, not only did they have the Lord's table, verse 42, but there was fellowship one with another. They came together. They prayed together. They had this gladness and singleness of heart together. There was a smoothness. That is what the thought here is, this gladness and singleness of heart. It was smooth. As they came together, it was smooth. Something's rough. We know what it's like. There was no roughness here. Their unity and their fellowship and the working of Christ within their lives brought them together. And what an example this then is to us. An example of serving Christ within the church. An example of fellowshipping. An example of coming together and encouraging one another. We could build on this and deal with our concerns and our difficulties and encouraging the brethren and helping each other out. All these things. We're a church family. We have that bond together in the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear believer, do you have that bond? When you look around you at the church of Christ and other believers, do you rejoice that not only has Christ saved you, but Christ has saved this person and that person? And you rejoice in their salvation. You rejoice in their fellowship. You rejoice in the blessing that they are to you. Are you desiring to be a blessing to others because of this bond and this unity and this fellowship we have one with another? May we do so. May we know that. The New Testament church did very little compared to what we may have today. Here in Acts 2, they didn't have a building to meet, to focus their attention and their worship in one place together. They didn't have that. We've many more blessings, but let us not, though we have more blessings we could say, let us not lose this blessing of this unity and this fellowship that they had. And it is vital for us to come as the family of God together. We learn from each other. We see other believers struggle with sins. We pray for them. We learn from them. You may see another believer who has, through God's grace, had victory over a sin you struggle with. They can help you. Maybe another believer has suffered and endured the pain you're going through and the heartache. And they can help you, or you can help them. It's a family. The family of God fellowshipping together. May we know this here. May we know the blessing of God. And may we see the importance and the priority of it within our lives. May the Lord bless His word for His name's sake. Amen.
Today's Spurgeon devotional comes from 1 John chapter 4 and the verse 19. The wonderful words of the Apostle John: we love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. There is no light on the planet but that which proceedeth from the Son, and there is no true love to Jesus in the heart but that which cometh from the Lord Jesus himself. From this overflowing fountain of the infinite love of God, all our love to God must spring. This must ever be a great and certain truth, that we love him for no other reason than because he first loved us. Our love to him is the fair offspring of his love to us. Cold admiration, when studying the works of God, anyone may have, but the warmth of love can only be kindled in the heart by God's Spirit. How great the wonder that such as we should ever have been brought to love Jesus at all. How marvellous that when we had rebelled against him, he should, by a display of such amazing love, seek to draw us back. No, never should we have had a grain of love towards God, unless it had been sown in us by the sweet seed of his love to us. Love, then, has for its parent the love of God shed abroad in the heart, but after it is thus divinely born, it must be divinely nourished. Love is an exotic. It is not a plant which will flourish naturally in human soil. It must be watered from above. Love to Jesus is a flower of a delicate nature, and if it receive no nourishment but that which could be drawn from the rock of our hearts, it would soon wither. As love comes from heaven, so it must feed on heavenly bread. It cannot exist in the wilderness unless it be fed by manna from on high. Love must feed on love. The very soul and life of our love to God is his love to us. I love thee, Lord, but with no love of mine, for I have none to give. I love thee, Lord, but all the love is thine, for by thy love I live. I am as nothing, and rejoice to be emptied and lost and swallowed up in thee. We come to the end of our program today, and we trust that the Word of God has indeed been a blessing to your soul. Thank you for joining with us. We trust the Lord will bless you, meet your needs, and that you will join us again here on Let the Bible Speak. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we are also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. Join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.